Through this tape are made available the words of the world's greatest contemporary mystic, Osho. Thousands of his discourse tapes are available worldwide. Many, many people have been transformed through listening to them. This is an invitation to experience the vision of Osho. In these excerpts, Osho describes how priests and politicians create guilt in us in order to exercise control over us.
Religion does not create guilt, and if it creates, it is not religion. Yes, Mohammedanism, Christianity, Judaism, Hinduism, they create guilt. Let that be your definition of a religion. If it creates guilt, it is not a religion. Something else pretending, something else garbed as religion, posing as religion but not religion. Religion creates celebration, not guilt. These are hidden things which don't want to expose themselves. These so-called religions are more political than religious. Their whole idea, a desire, ambition, is how to dominate people, is how to control people. And naturally, guilt is one of the best mechanisms ever evolved to control people, to dominate people, make them feel guilty. Once they start feeling guilty, they are in your control. All dictators do that. All politicians do that. And your priest is just a politician behind a mask. The Pope, the Shankaracharya, these are all politicians. They are not religious people. They have a very hidden politics. The politics is how to dominate humanity, how to control people, how to make slaves out of people. And of course, there is no better trick than creating guilt. It is a psychological technique. How it functions? To create guilt, first you have to create an impossible ideal. Give an impossible ideal which cannot be fulfilled, which is inhuman, which is not possible at all. For example, in India they have created guilt about sex. If you have any sex desire, you start feeling like a great sinner. Sex has been condemned. Now, sex is such a natural thing, as natural as any other thing, eating, breathing. One thing is only different about sex, that it can be transcended. But there is nothing intrinsically wrong about it. One can go beyond it. And when one goes beyond it, there is great freedom. There is great joy. Greater than the sex can ever bring. But still, sex is not sin. Sex is beautiful, healthy. But if it is condemned, then you have a great trick, a great technique in your hands. Millions of people will be controlled through it, because they will not be able to get beyond it. In fact, the more they think it is a sin, the less is the possibility to go beyond it. Because to go beyond, one has to go through. So a very cunning way to keep people in sexuality and keep them feeling guilty, and continuously they are afraid that they are doing something wrong. When a person feels that I see he is doing something wrong, he is trembling inside. He cannot be a rebel. He cannot stand on his own. He knows he is guilty. He is not good. He is not worthy enough of anything. He cannot hope to be happy. He knows he is a sinner. Hell is waiting for him. Now you can manipulate. You can do whatever you want to do with this man. He is available. He is ready to become a slave. This is a psychological slavery. You have taken his respect for himself. You have taken away his worth. He feels himself dirty. How can he love himself? How can he respect himself? He will be a victim to anybody who wants to control him. The parents will control him. The wife will control him. The husband will control. Children will control. The society will control. Everybody will control him, because something immensely valuable has been destroyed in him. His respect for himself, he has lost that, and he will remain miserable, continuously miserable. How can you be happy if you don't have any respect for yourself? And such a natural thing as sex, and so difficult to get rid of it. Yes, people can transcend, but nobody can get rid of it. Let me tell you something. Just the other day I was reading psychologist Dr. Paul Cameron reports that males spend a great deal of time thinking about sex. In a survey of 4,000 people, he found that males between the ages of 12 and 17 think about sex once every 2 minutes. This rate continues into young adulthood and drops to once every 5 minutes in middle age, that is 40 to 45, and finally tails off to once every 10 minutes after 65. Females give thought to sex every 2.5 minutes as teenagers. They are a little more saintly. Half minute difference. Once every 3 minutes in young adulthood. Once every 10 minutes in middle age, 40 to 45. And once every 20 minutes after 65. And that too, to me, seems just because of conditioning. Because the females down the ages have been conditioned more than the males against sex. They were expected to remain virgins. That too is male ego. Why? Why you should try to find a virgin to get married to? Why? The male ego. The male ego always wants to be there first. Everywhere. To be the first. Hence the woman has to remain a virgin. And boys are boys. Virginity was not expected of boys, but girls were very much protected. Women have been more repressed. But out of thousands of years of repression, only half minute difference. Not much. So ladies, please don't feel too much saintly. But this survey is very important. It shows how natural sex is. Now, if you create guilt, if you make people feel that this is sin, you are destroying their respect for themselves. And you are making them afraid. And the so-called religions make you afraid that you will suffer in hell, and they make you also greedy that you will have your rewards in heaven if you follow their dictates. So greed and fear. And between the two is created guilt. If you are too much afraid, if you are too much afraid of being yourself, then there are two possibilities. Either you become a so-called false saint. You pretend to be that which you are not. Or you become a criminal. You assert whatsoever is the case. But in both the ways you become abnormal. Fear creates abnormality. Either you become a saint, the so-called saint, the Mahatma, a hypocrite, or you become a criminal. It depends how you will react. If you are a cowardly man, you will become a Mahatma. And if you are a brave man, you will become a criminal. But both are wrong. Neither cowardly saints and hypocrites are needed, and nor brave criminals are needed. Brave saints are needed. Courageous saints are needed. That is a totally different thing. You cannot create that out of fear. And for small things, man has been made so much afraid. Priests came to know it very early. Fear works. Create fear, and then you can make people do anything you want to. Fear creates such an intensity that one puts his whole life at the stake. You go in the monasteries, it is fear that people are in the monasteries. Is struggling hard with sex, with food, with his sleep. It is just fear, fear of hell. Or greed, which is another aspect of the same thing. Greed and fear are two aspects of the same coin. A greedy person is an afraid person. And a fearful person is a greedy person. A really courageous man has no greed and no fear. He lives his nature in a natural way. People are religious either out of fear or out of greed. But people are not religious out of awareness or out of love. And all these religions who have created guilt in man have created an irreligious world. Beware, because in you also the same mechanism has been put. Everybody carries inside him guilt, as if you are naturally wrong. That to be natural is to be wrong. Anger is wrong, sex is wrong, joy in food is wrong, laughter is wrong. All good things seems to be wrong. And then one goes on repressing. And howsoever you repress, nature goes on asserting. You repress it and it asserts. When it asserts and you have to do something against your mind, then guilt. Then you know that you have fallen again. You have committed the sin again. Be free from guilt. If you really want to go closer to God, be free from guilt. Accept nature. Welcome it. It is perfectly good. Sex is good. Sometimes anger is good. When I say sometimes, I mean whenever anger is spontaneous, it is good. And if you allow anger its spontaneity, you will never accumulate angers. And you will not explode out of proportions. And your system will be clean. It will be a momentary thing. Something happens and you respond. And if your anger is spontaneous, relevant, responsible, true to the moment, is not a reaction but a response, it has beauty. You simply say that you are alive, nothing else. But if you go on repressing your anger, feeling that anger is wrong, don't do it. When you are feeling angry, smile, go on smiling, you are gathering poison. And after a time, there comes a limit, when the poison is too much and will explode. And will explode in such a situation where you will look foolish, stupid, mad, because the situation had never demanded it. Have you not observed it? When you really become angry, out of repression, you are always irrelevant. Your response is not to the point. It comes from the past. All that is spontaneous is beautiful. And I am not saying there are not states of consciousness where anger disappears, but it disappears only by being spontaneous. Anger, greed, fear, sex, all disappears. A moment comes, slowly, when you have experienced life in its truth, in its reality. When you have lived it in all its possibilities, you grow beyond it. Then those things become toys left behind. They look childish, immature, juvenile. Not that you condemn them, and not that now you hope that you will get to heaven. There is nothing in it. You have not sacrificed anything. There is no sacrifice. If you really want to be with me, drop guilt. And the same energy that has become the complex of guilt, once released, becomes celebration. Celebration is the right attitude. Celebrate all that God has given to you. And I promise you that if you can celebrate all that God has given to you, you will become worthy of more. Sex disappears one day, and you become capable of love. And one day love disappears and you become capable of prayers. And one day prayer disappears and you become a god yourself. But one has to start to live that which has been given to you. Of course, it is easy to control paralyzed people. It is easy to control crippled people. It is easy to dominate dead people. People who enjoy their life are difficult to control. It will be difficult if people are really living their sex life truly to send them to war. It will be impossible. Why? But right now it is just the opposite. People are so ready to go to war because they are dead. War gives them a feeling of life. You can see a certain joy on the face of the soldiers going to the war. You can see all around thrill, adventure. Why? Their life is so dull that even death in comparison seems to be far better. If people's life is a celebration, you cannot drive people to war. For no foolish reasons, ideological, religious, you cannot drive people to war. They will simply refuse, they will laugh at the whole nonsense of it. You cannot force people to do ugly jobs, jobs that simply destroy their souls. But dead people can be forced anywhere. You can make a man a clerk, and his whole life he will simply put files from here and there. The whole life he will sift files. There will be no joy in his life. But a guilty person cannot expect more. Even this is too much. It is a God's blessing that he is employed. Dead people will go on living. A man will go on sleeping with a woman he does not love. He is so guilty, he views it a God's blessing, even he has got a woman, that's okay. A woman will go on living with a man she hates, feels repelled. Guilty people can be forced into any hole, into any dungeon. But when people are happy, they will live their life. When they are happy, they will become woodcutters, gardeners, farmers, fishers. They will be singers, dancers, poets, painters. Or if somebody enjoys being a killer, that is another thing. Then he chooses it. But that is his choice. And people will not be so mad after money. Money is a substitute for love. When you don't get love, you start trying to have more money, more money. Money is a substitute for love. That's why people who are very miserly about money are very loveless people. They cannot afford to be loving. If they are loving, they cannot be miserly. Both things don't go together. A loving person is never a miser. And a miser is never a loving person. He need not love. His love is money. His God is money. He worships money. That's enough. Then there are power addicts who go on their whole life trying to get more and more powerful. How to reach to New Delhi or Washington or Moscow? Their whole life seems to be just an effort to reach to the capital. For what? Why people enjoy power so much? Why this madness, this political madness? The reason is they don't have any power over themselves. They need a substitute. They can feel happy if they have power over others. A man who has power over himself need not bother. Why he should bother to have power over others? It is enough. It is more than enough that he has power over himself. That's why in India we call a sannyasin swami. Swami means one who has power over himself. His whole search is that I should be myself. It is enough, it is immensely satisfying that I am a master of my own self. That's enough. Why you bother to be master of others? But people are missing that basic mastery. Hence, they are driven in mad ways, in mad paths. Politics, money, power, prestige, fame. These are all ugly things. These are neurotic things. And religions have not only condemned it, they have created a subtle mechanism to condemn you from yourself. The priests cannot follow you everywhere. The parents cannot go with you everywhere. So they have created a very subtle mechanism. Almost like an electrode of Delgado, they have put a conscience in you that goes uncondemning. If the parents have said, don't make love to this woman, she is not yet your wife, and love is prohibited, you may go alone with the woman. It may be a full moon night, and you may be feeling like loving, and she may be feeling like loving. And the parents are no more there. They are far away, miles far away, maybe dead. But the conscience, deep in your heart, somebody goes on pulling, don't do this, this is wrong. Even if you do it, you will not enjoy it, because the parents will go on interfering. If you don't do it, you will be miserable. If you do it, you will be miserable. Either way, you will be miserable. This is the most criminal act. To create a policeman in him, against himself. That's what conscience is. My whole effort here is to kill your policeman. And I'm not saying become irresponsible. And I am not saying go mad or insane. I am saying be freed of the policeman. Rather than having a conscience, have consciousness, which is the true thing. Let consciousness decide, not conscience. Conscience is borrowed. It is parental. It is societal. It is political. A man who has a conscience is never a free man. He is a slave. He is not inside a prison, but the prison is inside him. The prison is there inside him. The jailer is sitting there just in his own heart, pulling his strings. Drop this policeman, say goodbye to it forever. Become more alert, become more loving, become more natural, become more ordinary. Drop ideals. Don't try to be extraordinary. That's how you have been befooled. And don't try to become perfect images of something which does not exist in reality. Don't try to become a Christ or a Buddha Hare Krishna. Just try to become yourself. That's what God wants you to be. If He wanted Buddhas, He would have created all the Buddhas. He never creates again. Once is enough. He has created you as a unique human being. Respect this unique human being that you are and live it authentically.